Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Backfeed, the show after the show where these idiots sit around a virtual tabletop and are able to ask me any questions that I may or may not have a response to. So today I'm joined by Sam, Rob, and Gio. Why don't you guys go ahead and say hi?
Hello.
So who's got the first question?
I got a question for you.
Okay.
This is Melkor, by the way, guys. Or Giovanni. So my question was, if I use invisibility, because I was reading about it, because I assume that you got advantage on a stealth check if you're invisible, but I was reading that you're technically, according to the rules as written, you're technically heavily obscured, and apparently you're supposed to treat everyone as if they're blinded relative to you, so they have disadvantage on attacks against you, and you have advantage on attacks against them, and any perception checks that they make against you that rely on sight automatically fail.
This is under the invisible condition, you mean?
Yeah, it makes you heavily obscured, apparently. Which I didn't know. I didn't know it worked like that.
For the purpose of hiding, the creature is heavily obscured. Yeah. So, what's your question?
So, because I was wondering how it interacts with the Boots of Elvenkind that I got, because because that gives you disadvantage on, perception checks against, what is it? Perception checks against you that rely on the sound of your steps, essentially.
You mean somebody has disadvantage if they're trying to hear you?
Yeah.
Okay. So as far as that, you don't have multiple, you cannot have multiple, how can I word this? They don't stack. So if you have multiple things giving somebody disadvantage in finding you, whether that's you heavily obscured or you being hard to hear, you don't have multiple instances of it. So what that could mean is that me knowing that, I would probably change the DC required in order to actually see you or hear you or whatever, since it's a combination of both.
Oh, you just adjust, because I was under the impression that invisibility doesn't give you advantage on a stealth check, or that disadvantage on a stealth or on a perception check against you. Is that
It says for the purpose of hiding. So hiding is an action. The creature is heavily obscured. So to me, that is saying that it's hard to see the creature. Kind of, it's not like the invisibility cloak from Harry Potter, but it's more like the predator invisibility, how it can be seen when it's moving, but it's heavily obscured. So to me, it sounds more like, I think I give advantage on stealth checks if you are invisible to begin with, because it makes more sense that way, even though it's not rules as written. It still doesn't adjust you still have the chance of being heard if you're just invisible. Or if you're not invisible and you just have the Boots of Elvenkind and you can't really be heard, you can still be seen. So it kind of plays that way.
Okay. Yeah, you answered my question, I think.
Okay. Anyone else got anything?
Rob, did your character Sundamar, did you say how long you've been working with Bell for? I think I remember you did.
Yeah, I think I had said he's been working with him for, I think he said 27 years, something like that.
Did you say where you're from or no?
I'm
just curious.
I don't think I did. I don't think I did. You can look at my...
I don't think you said it out loud.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think anyone really had a chance to really talk to you.
Yeah, I've been apprenticed to Bell for the past 27 years, and I made mention of that to Bell in front of you guys, but nobody really took the opportunity to talk to my character, so you guys don't really know anything about him.
Yeah, we're too busy talking to Bell. I'm sure we'll ask you in the next session, maybe. What's going on next session anyway? We're going to the court hearing, right?
Yep.
And there's a question about that. Is there going to be like the government officials there? Like, is it going to be
like court?
I know, I'm not like, I don't mean like judges. Are there going to be like politicians and whatnot there? Like the actual like heads of the government. I don't know what government system you the republic has exactly, but like
it's a republic.
Yeah.
So the summons that you got was signed from the Grand Arbiter, who is essentially like the head dude from Parliament.
So is there going to be like arbiters, maybe even like even more important government officials watching this hearing because it concerns like the national security of the republic? Or is it just going to be like a judge?
There is no higher position than an arbiter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the arbiters are going to be prepped? Yes. Yeah, they're the ones who summoned you for court.
Oh, so all the arbiters in the republic are going to be present.
Yeah, there's only... Hold on. Let me see. How many arbiters are there? There's four arbiters and one grander master arbiter. So there's only five in the republic. Okay. The rest are considered adjudicators, which are, if you had to like put a representative, if you had to put like a title to it, to real world, it was, it's like a senator and a congressman. So like the congressman is like the adjudicator, and then the senator is the arbiter.
So if that will we have like adjudicator Exelbrand or
is that who adjudicators was? Will not be present because this is a matter of federal. This is a federal level, so it's going to be arbiters. When you talk about the providences, which is like Solora has level. So Solora is a providence in of itself. And that includes four other cities, including Yelfield, Clairstone, Port Thossey, and Fort Strummern. And then Achelios has its own province. And then I think there's five provinces. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, there's five provinces. That's why there's five arbiters and stuff.
Are we all done with that section, or can I was gonna have a question, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Different topic. So
and now Zora's offline. Okay.
So I know you said that we learned that all the Nephilim were pushed into a single city where the Scar now exists.
Yeah.
Do we know where like what's the name of that city, or did we not learn that yet?
The city that they were pushed back to?
Yeah.
No, that was never given.
Okay.
It was never stated what the name of that city was, but it also said that Nephilim tongue cannot be understood by common mindset. So and it's then, a
oh sorry.
So even if he did say it, you wouldn't have been able to understand it. Kind of like a Latin.
Like the name of the city wouldn't even be able to be comprehended by us because it's in a different tongue.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's very much not common knowledge, right?
No, that is not common knowledge.
What did people think happened at the Scar?
Well, they think largely... that because so there's been multiple things that happened at the Scar. So that you found out took place a long time ago, which left the scar initially. Prior to that, it was just, it was like any other place in the Republic. It was lush, green, foresty, whatever. Since then, Vecna rose to power there, and Xenagos broke the Divine Gate there. So it's a area of, it's like a desecrated area, essentially.
It's like a supernatural hotspot.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. So people don't understand why it exists. They just know it exists, and it's existed forever, as long as people have had knowledge of it. I don't know, people, because of the Xenagos and the Vecna rise, people tend to equate it to like some lich before them that started the cycle of Bell? Breaking the Divine Gate. No, not Bell. But it's just like the stories that you would hear as a kid, like, oh, the scar is where people go to break through the Divine Gate and cross that unnatural boundary. It's mm-hmm. just it's like that. It's where, kind of like, I don't want to say spheres because that's too much like a Witcher, and it's not spheres. It's kind of where the planes are thinest, and you can breach through like that. That's kind of what people believe like the scar to be,
like a crossing. Avatar with Aang, there's that spirit gate. When you can cross into the spirit realm, and it's like that's a spot mm-hmm. where it's the thinnest.
Yeah, so that's kind of like what people believe. Not necessarily saying that it's true, but that's what people believe.
Okay. Interesting. What's the group that put the bounty on Melkor?
Melkor's alone, specifically?
Yeah.
It was Order of the Ghost Slayers Bloodhunters.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about that, to be honest.
Is that the same? Is that guy that we met? Where the hell were we? Tullamore, and then Melkor got interviewed or interrogated at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, was he part of that group?
Yes, he introduced himself as part of that group.
Okay. So safe to assume that he found evidence that day or from that point of it.
Well, again, it's not so much, I think I said this in the session, it's not so much that they want him dead, it's more that they want him for questioning.
Well, why me specifically, though? Like, why would they know it's tied to me?
Necromancy.
Well, it's not so much that they know it's tied to you, but they have been able to put it together because necromancy kind of follows you wherever you go.
I've been with the group the whole time. Wouldn't we all have bounties on our head?
You have not been with the group the entire time. You spent 6 months alone in the Savage Lands and traveling to the Savage Lands.
Necromancy.
So it's probably safe to assume that they were tracking everybody and following everybody. All right, Andy, looks like Kyle's back at 1423. Okay. So it's not so much that they know it's you. It's just so much that
stalked, followed.
Followed surveilled. Everybody and surveyed everybody. And they didn't see any shenanigans as far as necromancy going on anywhere with everybody else, but there was kind of a trail because you were doing it. And it's not so much that they saw you do it, but there were reports from grave tenders that holes were found and of graves, because you would dig a hole and then you would bring the bodies back up, like the skeletons through the hole. And even if you covered it up, it's still dirt that's been moved. And people can tell that, especially with old graves. So those are the reports that they're getting. So they're following that up. And it just happens to follow where you're going. Right, cool. Hello.
Okay.
Does that... I mean, it's not... again, it's not so much that they've seen you do it, because you have very clearly laid out a way that you cannot be seen doing it. But there's a trail to it. There's a paper trail, or a dirt trail, if you want to say it that way.
A trail of bodies left in your wake.
Yeah. And Melkor's not stupid. Like, Melkor's pretty smart. I'm willing to say that Melkor is willing to put this together, or at least to make that assumption that I'm probably being followed, and he knows that he's leaving a trail, even though how minute it is. So probably not everything has been captured, but...
Oh. Yeah. Melkor assumed he was being followed after that encounter with the guy in the bar.
Yeah. So at some point, they must have lost you. But they at least got enough to warrant wanting to talk to you more.
Yeah, I mean, we have been teleporting around, so... Good luck exactly. Following that way.
Was there anything else with that, Sam or Gio?
So this place, or not place, this group of people, the Ghost Slayers, they are, what the hell we call it? Yeah, Order of Ghost Slayers or whatever. Are they known for like hunting necromancers? Is that their shtick?
Their shtick is fighting anything that's unnaturally brought back, whether that is...
Is it Sam and Dean from Winchester from Supernatural?
I mean, essentially, like, you could look at it that way. When Matt Mercer created the Blood Hunter class, he very obviously took inspiration from a lot of pop culture. Like, there's a Witcher reference with one of their subclasses and stuff like that. So
are all of these people Blood Hunters?
Yeah, they're Order of the Ghost Slayer Blood Hunters.
Oh, duh. Okay, I guess that flew right over my head and didn't realize it's a group of all the same class people like that.
Yeah, so in my world, I treat Blood Hunters very similarly to how Witchers are treated in... Not so much, like, despised, but, like, they keep their secrets close to them because they have... They're basically freaks of nature. So in order to keep their secrets close, they keep their secrets enclosed within whatever fort that they have. So yeah, the orders tend to stick together and send out small groups of people.
All right.
So Anthony sent me some questions because unfortunately he was still having computer issues. His first question is, would Agni have actually killed me?
Fuck yeah.
So this is kind of a hard question to answer because without giving too much away, he absolutely has the might to kill him and the reason to kill him if he truly wanted to. Or if, I shouldn't say truly wanted to, because he does truly want to, but more or less if he didn't see that he could gain something from it, I guess would be the better option. He gave Phantasma an ultimatum, either work for me and kill someone or die, essentially. So yes, he would have actually killed you had you not chosen to go help him, essentially.
Were you wondering if that was gonna be a PC death moment?
Yeah, I was, and it required a lot of quick thinking on my part and on Phantasmo's part as far as like that dialogue, and he replied pretty well with that. Very apologetic, and I think that was probably the best course of action in that situation.
I'm guessing you did not foresee your plan that happening at all.
No, not at all. But it was cool. You got to see, you guys actually got to hear Agni and like his side of the story a little bit, like you guys as players. Not so much like as PCs, but as players, you got to hear from him. And I think that kind of allowed a little bit of a glimpse into who Agony is and not just some mysterious emperor dude.
Yeah.
Anthony just he looked like he immediately regretted going to see Agony.
I mean, to be completely honest, like, I don't know what the fuck possessed him to do that. I really don't. Like, hindsight is 20/20, but I don't know why he would choose to go there when Julian gave him a tuning fork to the plane of the Inevitables, which is a plane of Nephilim. Oh,
yeah, that makes total sense.
Literally, I don't know. He must have forgotten about the tuning fork or something. And he also gave him the spell scroll. He asked about the spell scroll of plane shift prior to going to see Agony. And I said, no, you got that from Julian along with a tuning fork that had to stay at the manor. And he said to use it when you needed to talk to somebody. And I don't know what possessed him to do that.
Do you think he's going to try and kill what's his name?
Aldous?
Yes. That's what I meant to say.
I don't know. It's hard to tell with him. Because I feel like Anthony's the kind of player that would totally do it. But I also feel like he's the kind of player that doesn't like direct PvP if he can help it. And then the other thing is the only conflict that was really between Aldous and Simon was brought on because Aldous had assumed that Phantasmo would betray Simon prior to Phantasmo finding out the truth about Simon and his relationship with Simon. So Aldous did not like Simon, who is essentially Phantasmo's father figure. So that was the strife between the two. And now that's gone. Like, Phantasmo has said straight up that he does not really care for Simon anymore after talking to his mom. Yeah. So I don't think it's kind of like a 50-50 shot if he's actually going to do it or not. But at the same time, Agony did threaten him. So it's kind of like this weird situation. I don't know which one. I don't know if they're actually going to do it or not.
I don't know what the threat even means, though, because he already wants us dead. So, like,
he does want us.
Is this going to make the bounty higher? Like, what is the consequence if he just doesn't kill Aldous? Aldous.
Well, he left it very vague, but Agony is the kind of person right now who kind of sees you guys beneath him and wants you guys taken care of in the sense of hiring people to do his dirty work for him because he's a busy man.
He can't be bothered to do it.
Yeah. So even though he very clearly has the power to do so, given that last encounter with Phantasmo, which I don't recommend anybody else following up with because it's a miracle that he even stayed alive with that. But he's going to take a more active role in hunting you down hunting him down, I guess, if Phantasmo does not hold up his end of the bargain. Because right now it's a very passive role. All right. Phantasmo's next question. How close am I to figuring out how to become fully Nephilim? That is
ultimate cosmic power.
That is just full of spelling mistakes. I've never spelled Nephilim for you guys, have I? Because he spelled it like Niflheim.
Isn't it N-E-P-H-I-L, Nephilim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He spelled it like Niflheim.
Niflheim.
So here's the thing with full Nephilim. When I say full Nephilim or like a true Nephilim, I mean one that came prior to the annihilation of the race. So like Agony or the Inevitables or, well, actually those two, they really only these two.
So then, Finn is more like a mudblood.
No, he has the blood of a Nephilim because his parents are a full devil and a full angel, but it's kind of like a new age Nephilim. It's the rebirth of the race, so to speak. So it's kind of like uncharted territory in a sense of that. So I don't want to say, like, I think what he truly means is, like, when do I get my Nephilim powers, like, fully? And not so much how do I become a Nephilim, like Agony or the Inevitables, because that is not something that he can do. And then you have situations like Julian where he's half Nephilim. So he was, his father was an Azamar and his mother was a Tiefling. So you have that scenario too. But the problem with the Nephilim abilities is that they kind of come out like, God, I can't really like say it without spoiling something.
When you,
so
when you need them, not when you want them.
Not even that so much, because he didn't, like, I guess the ability to like manipulate the weave came about when you guys kind of needed it, because otherwise you would have been blind in that fight, in complete darkness. But it's kind of like a, I hate to say it like this, but it's kind of like when I want him to find out. yeah. But it's also related to like his power and his experiences. So like when he achieves a certain level of power or has a detrimental experience or is about to have a detrimental experience, then maybe something will awaken inside of him. It's not so much, hey, like it's been 2 weeks.
Like a Metroidvania.
Yeah. There's other things in there that's kind of preventing him to continue going forward, which is kind of the other issue, and I just don't want to spoil that yet. And then his last question was, should I have just killed Aldous when I saw him in the dungeon? Rob, what do you think about that question?
Should he have killed me? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. He asked if Anthony asked if Phantasmo should have just killed Aldous when he saw him in the dungeon.
Well, how can I answer? That's a question that only he can answer, right?
I mean, yeah, I can't really answer that either, but I just wanted to get your opinion on that answer. Like, do you think Phantasmo would have been able to kill Aldous, or do you think, like, how do you think Aldous would have reacted if that happened?
Well, I mean, now that I know that he can cast Feeble Mind, there's no way I can succeed unless I basically roll a nat 20. I mean, he would just make me stupid.
Well, you can still attack when you're stupid. You can't cast spells, but you can still, like, I think you can still use your weapon.
I wouldn't even know how. I'd basically just be...
What does it drop your intelligence to?
Like a 3.
I think it drops it to 1, yeah. Actually. For sure. But yeah. There's a description, though, in it. It says
your charisma score becomes 1, and your intelligence score becomes 1. So when it's a 1, you're talking like comatose levels.
Yeah, I'm like a vegetable. Basically become a vegetable. Like, I know how to breathe and possibly eat, but that's kind of like it. Like, I can't do anything. I wouldn't know how to fight him. I couldn't do anything. Like, he would just do that to me, and I would just die in that dungeon. Anything could walk up and kill me after that. And if he did that to me, he would finish me off after and just probably just stab me, and I would die.
Yeah, I was confused about the description, because it says you can identify friends, follow them, and even protect them. So I was like, what does protect entail? Is that, you know, does that mean you can swing your sword, or do you have to punch
maybe
them?
Like what? Like instinct to like move in front of things and run at stuff, but like I'm not gonna know how to.
So I mean, I would say like you probably wouldn't get your proficiency bonus, but you would probably still be able to like swing the sword or glaive or whatever. Like, put pointy end here is kind of simple, but I feel like the finesse required to fully use it to the best of its ability is lost at that point. Well, so you're kind of like hindered. You kind of like hindered.
Like, in that sense. It's not a simple weapon. Like, you have to know how to use a martial weapon. Like, it requires training. So, in my mind, like, should he have killed me? I mean, he claims he has no reason to. And then now he says that he has to kill me. And the only reason Aldous didn't kill him was because he wanted food.
And a way out.
Yeah, he wanted food and a way out. And then he fucking lied to me. So now Aldous is trapped in the dungeon, and then Zor comes along. If it wasn't for Zor, Aldous would just be stuck there.
Yeah! Oh my. I had my volume way too high for that.
Same. Oh my goodness.
Blew my eardrum.
Just is Feeble Mind considered a charm spell?
Zor waits for the perfect
moment. Is it like a charm spell? I'm just curious.
It's an enchantment spell. It says you blast the mind of a creature that you can see within range to shatter its intellect and personality. So I would not say it's a charm spell because you're not forcing your will on somebody. You're just making them freaking stupid. So like dominate person, I would say is like a charm, but this seems like it's, it's more of like a destructive capability to the brain, kind of like a traumatic brain injury or something.
Right. But Zor already might have a traumatic brain injury, so he would just die.
Maybe. You never know. And just for some reference, as far as what an intelligence score of 1 looks like, you're looking at like something like animated armor that has an intelligence score of 1. So
animated armor can attack
through magic. It's magic using it. It's not in of itself. It's not something that it's not like a proficient attack. It's kind of like a puppet. So I would say it's probably not very scary when it comes down to it, as far as like using a weapon or proficient.
Here's a question for you. If something is invisible and a spell like specifies that you have to be able to see the target in order to target them with it, would you be able to target the invisible person?
That goes back to the heavily obscured thing.
You probably
have
to make a perception check to see the person, right?
That's what I would normally do. Because it's one of those weird interactions where I feel like it's a multi-step thing. And when it comes to a multi-step thing, I make it multiple steps in order to succeed it. Like, so for this instance, I would say that they could make a perception check as part of the action to find them and see them. And if they pass for whatever that is at the specific time, if it's even possible, then they would be able to attempt to cast the spell. But if we're talking something like Fireball, where you just need to see the point that it's going to, then you wouldn't really need to make that perception check. They could just cast Fireball and hope that it hits.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure how you'd rule that, because it says, you know, heavily obscured, it blocks vision entirely, and the creature effectively suffers from the blinding condition. So I don't know. You can't, you know.
I don't know. I mean, maybe my app isn't updated, but mine does not say that.
Oh, I'm on rule 20.
So mine says a creature you touch becomes invisible until the spell ends. Anything the target wears, it becomes invisible as long as it's on the target person. The spell ends if the target attacks or casts a spell.
And then Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I'm looking at the heavily obscured condition. It's under, I think, the environment? I'm looking at the Roll 20 compendium. It's under vision and light. Heavily obscured. Yeah.
Heavily obscured area. So such as darkness, opaque. A creature effectively suffers from a blinded condition. So I think that is related to an area. So it's, see how it says a heavily obscured area and not a person. So to me, I think it's saying two different things. So this is saying for an area that's heavily obscured. For the spell, because it's not, I've never heard of a heavily obscured condition for a person. I don't even think that's a thing.
Where I got it from was the player handbook. It's page 291. For the purpose of hiding, the creature is heavily obscured. It says an invisible creature is impossible to see without the aid of magic or a special sense.
For the purpose of hiding, if they're trying to hide. So hide in an area.
Oh, so when they're trying to hide, then they're heavily obscured.
Yeah, so when they're trying to hide in an area, then it becomes heavily obscured. So it's like, again, I'm going to go back to the predator thing because it makes the most amount of sense in my head. When the predator is standing still in a tree versus like moving next to you. You know what I mean? Like, it's two different mm-hmm. things. Like, yeah. the creature itself is still invisible, but it's not trying to hide and it's not in like a heavily obscured kind of thing. So I think as far as that goes, when we talk about being hidden, then that's something different. So if you're invisible, hidden, that would, to me, you would already have to pass a stealth check or perform a stealth check. Depending on the situation of what it is, it would either be an opposed or a DC. And then from there, it would be dependent on if the person would be able to see you while you're doing that or while you're there. And of course, all this is overruled by anything that has true sight. So if something has true sight, then they can see you, regardless of if you're invisible.
Okay. Makes sense.
All right. Any other questions for me? Excuse me. I'm tired.
I don't believe so.
I have a question.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Zora's here. Hi. Sorry for my technical difficulties, but my question is, do we feel that Zor is going to have negative effects from drinking the liquor?
What liquor?
That's the answer I want to hear.
The decanter,
the liquor,
from
the endless decanter of liquor.
He's constantly pounding it.
The one from that Phantasmal got. You were given the bag of whatever the fuck it's called, the bag of colding, right?
And then I got the endless decanter of liquor from his mama,
from whiskey.
And then, that's right. I gave you a whiskey, and I gave him a gin. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it depends on how much you drink. Drink like a crazy man, and then, yeah, probably.
It'll cost you a liver.
Cost you a liver. One liver, please.
Usually, Eddie makes us do a constitution saving throw, Kyle.
Yeah,
normally. Every time he attacks, he has to miss one of his attacks.
So now that we have Rob as a wizard, I've been thinking about playing Melkor a little differently in combat. And I want to switch out Revivify for Aura of Vitality. Like, I wrote Revivify on my sheet, but I haven't used it yet. So I was wondering, like, would I be able to just switch that now, or do I have to wait until I level up?
I think for wizards or for sorcerers, it says that you can do it when you level up.
Well, and are you doing that because you are thinking that Rob has Revivify?
Well, I already have two Revivify scrolls, and it's such a situational spell. I don't. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm never gonna. I feel like it's just wasting a known spell, and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna level up for a long time now, so.
Oh yeah. Then watch, three of us are gonna die, and then you're gonna have to make the tough choice of picking.
I can twin it.
This scroll.
Not the scroll. Yeah. You have to cast the spell.
You cast a spell through the scroll, right? So I can't twin cast it through the scroll. You're saying that?
It because your meta magic is through your own spells. That's the way I look at it. You're not gonna, if you're casting it through the scroll, you're using the scroll has the spell saved inside of it. Yeah. So you have no effect as far as like the scroll, like the magic coming out of the scroll. Like you cannot amplify that or change that because it's already saved in the scroll. It's kind of like loading a saved game from a video game. You just open it and it's there versus you casting it. And when you cast it, you can manipulate it. That's what gives you the sorcerer power. So if it says somewhere else in the rule book, I don't really agree with that because it doesn't make sense. Like your ability to twin cast comes from your innate bloodline and your power. You had nothing to do with the creation of that spell scroll. So you would not be able to manipulate it. Even if you did create it, you wouldn't be able to manipulate it later.
Okay.
I see Rob has had his hand up for a while. Does that mean you have a question, Rob?
I believe that's what the raised hand icon is for. My question is for Kyle. Does Zor have any intention in avenging the death of his people, or is he just going to continue to be buddy-buddy with Demezio and ignore the fact that Demezio's daughter played a hand in that, as well as the entire air quote family had a hand in that Demezio's technically a part of as well?
Well, I'd like to interject.
No, I feel baiting.
Nope, get out of here, Sam. This is not for you. This is a Kyle question. You can't influence him either.
I feel like you're leading the witness. I object.
We're not in court yet.
Do we roll a d20?
It's a great question. It is a good question.
My daughter was under orders. Zor
has at one point gone crazy. He's definitely crazy now. He definitely has depression. And I think he is angry in the moment because he wears his emotions on his sleeve. And he has a really tight bond with his group of allies now. And it's a tough question and it's hard to say. And I think that's something that's only time will tell. But I think Zor's biggest downfall is the fact that he doesn't have a lot to live for now because he lost his family, he lost his daughter, and his friends are keeping his sanity afloat right now. So I think that could turn the tables for Zor, as if that one of his allies were harmed.
Interesting.
I can't believe that Zor doesn't want to kill Don Padawano.
Well, Don, like they said, it's an order from a higher up. Granted, I know it's the classical, they were just following their orders, but still, like...
Well, yeah, it doesn't mean it's okay. I mean,
that's the
same old thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
A little different than the Nazis. Because I don't think anyone threatened the Nazis. I think they just made that up and said, we plan on just destroying everything.
I mean, doesn't matter the reason. It's still just wiping out people. I mean, Kyle, you said it was like all of your people, like women and children and all of them.
I think Zor is definitely, it's a very sore subject, but he doesn't have a lot to live for. And he definitely has a bond with Demezio and all this and Melkor and Phantasmo. So I think it at one point where he was about to snap when he found out everything from Demezio and his daughter. And I think the only thing that kept him afloat was the fact that he's not evil. And he had an awakening with himself on what's really worth slaughtering more people or forgiving.
Damn. He's noble.
But he is a berserking mad psychopath, so we have to also remember that. He's a good example for Zor would be that he's a ticking time bomb, ready to explode. He's a big ball of rage. What a soft spot on his sleeve.
What I like about Zor is that there's never a wondering of how he's feeling.
This is true. No, I specifically did this to bring up like the morality question of it. Like, Don Paduano was under threat that his entire, I'm gonna say clan because it makes more sense to the family.
It's his family. It's his family, like, though, in a sense.
Yeah, his clan, family, whatever you want to call it, mafia would be eradicated if he did not do what the Orzhov told him to do. So he had to pick between the two evils that he was presented,
and yeah, it's tough because if somebody threatened kill your family, well, not Aldous's family because we all know how he feels about his mother, but if somebody threatened to kill Aldous's, I don't know, somebody he cares deeply about, if there's any father left, yeah, what lengths would he go to in order to stop that from happening?
And that's the other thing. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting that everybody is on like a different side of the coin, but that's why I did it, because I wanted you guys to have a conflict to talk about, because the Don is not an immediate threat as far as like directly causing and wanting to cause you guys harm at the current time, but he's there and he caused some of you harm, and it's, and the reason is, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It is, the reason is what it is, and that's the decision he made. So it's up to you guys on how you decide to interpret that.
I mean, I feel like the Syndicate's going to try to kill us at some point. And we, you know, what happens if they just order Don Paduano to kill us under a threat?
That'd be an interesting conversation for him, because Demezio is also part of the family.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about the Don. I think I'm going to save some of it for the next session.
I think the Don would easily off Demezio because he's just one person.
Yeah.
Demezio is the son of his right hand.
Oh, absolutely. Because then, you know, it's going to test the loyalty of his right hand. It's a matter of you get rid of your son or I get rid of you and your entire family type deal. You know,
you're also assuming that this is Godfather.
Isn't this all Italian mafia based? Or isn't that what it's based
supposed
to
be? Doesn't mean it's entirely 100% copied.
Well, because like in the 80s,
but then again,
saying you're wrong or right, Rob. I'm just playing devil's advocate. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to point you. I'm not trying to point out and say you're wrong. I'm just saying, devil's advocate here. You don't know Don Paduano, and you don't know how he would operate. You're just making the assumption because
based on a pop culture reference.
Yeah. And I will play devil's advocate in saying that I could also be right here.
Absolutely. I'm never going to say that you are going to be, that you can't be right. It is what it is. I was just trying to say, you know, just but because it's one thing doesn't mean it's necessarily not the other.
Andy has made it clear, though, that it's not, the family has done good things. Freeing the, what is it? What are they all called?
The hybrids.
The blue, yes. So, like, I know they have done good things in the past. So it's not like they're a crime family out for themselves.
You know, this is how I see it. I feel like it's more likely that the Don, if he's ordered to kill us from the syndicate, he would probably ask DeMezzio to kill one of us, or to kill us, or help him kill us. He'd probably, you know, order DeMezzio to join in the attack against us.
Would he, though? Because if the syndicate wants all of you dead, that includes DeMezzio. So why would he ask somebody that the syndicate wants dead to kill his friends? You know, I mean, it doesn't seem to make logical sense.
Well, he could always trick DeMezzio into thinking he'd be spared.
That's true. That is true. He could. I guess I didn't think about
that. Or make a deal with the syndicate to spare him. Like, okay, we'll also do it, but spare DeMezzio.
That is also very, very possible. Don't know how far that would go, but Paduano would definitely entertain that.
And I just think it's likely that the Don's going to be ordered by the syndicate at some point to attack us. I don't know at what point, but... And Rob's gone.
Bye, Rob. Have a good time.
Hope you find your dad.
Hope you find your dad. But, yeah, so with that devil's advocate conversation coming up, anything else for y'all?
Nope.
Wait, why? Zor, Kyle, what are you typing in this chat? Plotting. How to bait Zor Melkor attack. What does that even mean? Zor Rob Melkor attack. Well, attack what? What if Melkor bit me? Oh my god.
Yeah. I can't decide if Kyle is extremely good at role playing Zor or if Zor is just Kyle.
Sometimes the best characters are just aspects of ourselves amplified. That's how I make all my characters, is amplifying an aspect. Like, Tim, I just want everybody to like me. I just want to make friends. I should bring him back as a PC or as an NPC. That's what I should do. That'd maybe be great. I will. Huh?
I said that would be great.
Literally, me and you are the only ones that get that reference, Sam.
Yeah. Well, Rob would, but Rob's not here right now.
Yeah, because Rob bailed early.
He didn't even say goodbye.
I know. How dare him? Right in the middle of a conversation. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end it, unless anybody else has any other questions.
Will we be getting into a fight soon? I'm dying to kill something.
Well, you're going to court, so I don't know if a fight will happen anytime soon.
Might be the best place.
Yeah, start a brawl in the courtroom. Fireball.
Unfortunately, I think I may have spoiled your experience of D&D, because it's not always Nihilus Forest.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because you started off in a freaking forest of dungeon.
I miss the forest, honestly. That was so much fun for me.
It was just combat after combat after combat.
There was a little bit of story in there.
A dabble here and there.
You're experiencing the other pillars of D&D right now.
I feel it just like makes it just makes the next combat that much more enjoyable.
I feel like D&D should be dungeons like that, and then in between we have a lot of story like we have been doing, and then another dungeon.
I mean, that's normal. That's normally what it is.
We another just Natalie's have our... Forest dungeon that lasts like 3 months.
Well, I mean, that was a really long dungeon. That was probably the longest dungeon I've ever made. But it wasn't even like... I don't know.
Would love Tomb of Annihilation.
Oh my god. Yeah, he would. I will let you know that I did get a brand new mini for your next big combat encounter. Great. And it is nice. Glorious. And I think you guys will enjoy it.
Nice.
It's big. It's a big mini.
Mezio's father's dying.
Oh, I was going to say, do you need any of my minis at any point? Just let me know.
All right.
I don't have that many, but I do have a bunch.
I don't. I'm not that. I only plan like I'd say like 1 to 2 sessions ahead. That way I have enough to get through the session that we're in, because so much happens in a session that sometimes it can change the aspect of the next couple sessions. So yeah. I don't typically venture too far ahead because otherwise I'm just going to throw out my plans anyway. But if I do, yeah. I will let you know, and it'll probably be last minute. If I remember.
So, also I was going to say, let me know if you want help, like if you don't have time to make a map or something, I would definitely, if I can make the time, I'll definitely help you out with that. Because I would actually enjoy doing that, to be honest.
Making maps and stuff?
Yeah, or even like a roll table.
But or then helping you with it, much. You know. But then you would know too much.
Well, I could just make the algorithm, and then you pick the monsters.
You make the algorithm? Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Maybe I might take you up on that if you can make an algorithm for it. Damn, that would make my life so much easier.
He's going to put the entire monster.
He's going to become Google.
Like, if you could make an algorithm and have it be like monster type, monster level, and then number of monsters per roll table, and then it would just like auto filter into it, that would be nice.
Oh yeah. I would do something crazy. If you asked me to make a roll table, I would go fucking, I would go crazy with that.
You need to get like a decoder ring out for Geo's roll table.
Right.
They die on your first thing made.
I think you guys will have fun with this next session. Although hopefully you guys are preparing your opening statements.
Uh-oh.
I didn't do it.
Everybody prepare
your will. I didn't fucking do it.
So what's your opening statements? I didn't do it. In yours, I didn't do it. In yours, I didn't do it either.
They're like, do what? And we haven't.
Do what? We haven't done anything yet.
You didn't do what? I didn't kill Agony.
I didn't do the necromancy stuff. Yeah.
And they're like, wait, what?
I don't know how those bones got in my bag.
I don't know how they got there, officer.
Who put those damn bones in my bag again?
They're
I swear.
Chicken bones from Zora's lunches.
This happens so frequently.
I still have a couple cheeseburgers.
All right. Seriously, now I think that's a good place to end because I am fucking exhausted because Baby Rue decides to not let me sleep some nights, and last night was one of them. So I am going to end it there. I'll see you guys the next week, Thursday, for the continuation of our story. And finally, the court of the War Tribunal and the Arbiters. That's everybody. Have a fantastic rest of your week, and we'll see you all next time on Tales of the Combat. Later.
Later.
Later.